And chapter number 2, another reason why I came this morning is I heard that Brother David and Sister Sherry needed counseling. I'm not going to get into it. Just you can look at him and figure it out. I was thinking the other day, I come up with a sure what I would say help as far as marriage is concerned. Something that will keep your marriage successful. Now, I thought of this. That's amazing, ain't it? I call it 50-50. Now, men, I want you to listen to me. This will give you a successful marriage, no matter how long it is, 50-50. Are you ready, men? You listen to that woman 50% of the time. You got it? The other 50, keep your mouth shut. And if that don't work, I don't know what will. And there's no help. I love it. Now, some of the men didn't even grin. They scared. So, anyway. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 36. This is after Simeon has made his prophecy concerning the baby Christ who has been brought to the temple to be dedicated. We would have thought he was the only one there during this blessed occasion. But then we look down in verse number 36. And the Bible said, and there was one. And I want to emphasize that word there. There was one. And then it gives her name, Anna. It just struck me that it used that word preceding her name, there was one. But isn't that what we all are? There's no two of us. There's only one of us. I am one, Dana. And you are one, whatever your name is. She is one. And notice Anna, a prophetess. One who foretold, proclaimed the coming of the Lord. She was a daughter, and now she's still just one. Tells of her father's name, Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age. She's one that is elderly. Had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She was one who was married. She was a widow of about 84 years. She was one who experienced the death of her husband. From the way that is worded, she could have been 84 years old or 106, depending on the emphasis of that 84 years from her birth or from the time that her husband died, which departed not from the temple. She's one who is in the temple. But served God. She's just one. But she's serving God. One who is fasting. One who prays night and day. Wow. Who would have known that was going on in one place with one woman at this age and what she had experienced. Verse 38, and she, coming in that instant, gave thanks. Or as I know, at this point in time, at this second, she's the only one giving thanks. Likewise unto the Lord, and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. My goodness, when you look at the entirety of who she is, where she's at, what she's experienced, and what she's doing, but yet, she's one. I say that to emphasize to you, that's all you are. But what I want to say in conjunction to that is, one is enough. Can I say to you, you are enough. You can be seated. Four things I want to say about this one who is Anna. The Scripture speaks of others preceding it with the one. It talks about the one, Christ Jesus. He's the only one. It talks about the one, Paul, who was a servant of Christ in prison. It talks about the one, John the Baptist, who came out of the wilderness. The one. But it's here we're going to focus on this lady as the one. But I don't want you just to look at her. I want you to realize that you also are the one. And the thing that I noticed concerning Anna, as I looked at her, I saw her human side. That which is true and applies to all of us here this morning. You are of the human side, of the natural side. There's no one here simply in spirit. You're not a spook. You do have a spirit and a soul, but it's contained within the natural or the human. It is a body. This is not a supernatural being on some supernatural elevation above anyone else. She's just Anna, and she's one. And in her oneness, we see what she is and what she contends with, the same things in life that we do. Though not identically, we all face what life has to offer. You are one that is not an exception to the rule. That you have to live what this life offers you. There's no way around it. And it is here that we mention she was not born a son. She was born a daughter. She was not born of the tribe of Judah. She's born of the tribe of Asher. She is not given the privilege of being a male. She is a female. She must face and go through the loss after becoming a wife of her husband who passes from the scene. It seems to indicate that she had no children. She's able to give herself entirely to God. She is of age, elder, 84 at least, and maybe much more than that. It is here that we catch a glimpse of the events, the circumstances of her life. But in doing so, we can pause and look at who we are, where we come from, what we've experienced, what we have come, what the events that we have faced in our lives as far as this world is concerned, because that we are human. She is one that faces life as it unfolds. So it is with everyone. You are one. You are one. Let's not grumble and complain or have pity parties about what we must face, because we all will face what life offers, as I say. She is one that in the course of time, she is one while moving through time. She is one while experiencing what time offers that is more than enough when it comes to her magnifying the Lord. More than enough. No death would stop her. No age would stop her. No circumstance would stop her. Can I say to you that there is something within you that God has given you that nothing from without can stop? You've got more than enough. Young man, you're more than enough. Young lady, you're more than enough. Dear saints, you're more than enough. Senior citizen, you're more than enough. You're at no place or going through no circumstance at any time but what God cannot use you, the one. And isn't it a blessing to be a part of a church that you can see young people who have taken who they are and given it to God? And you can see elderly people, aged people. Someone said to me just today that they thought I hadn't aged. And I was looking as good as always. I wanted to say to that person, we will be given an altar call for those who lie, or possibly you need new glasses. But here's the thing, here I am. February 1st, I'll be 70. I can't believe that, can you? Thank you. But I'm going to tell you something. It has changed nothing about my connection to God. I started walking with Him at 14 as the one who wanted to serve God at 14. And here I am turning 70. And age hasn't changed that. Time hasn't changed that. Events hasn't changed that. I still want to be the one connected to Christ. She takes what she's got. Just give God what you got. You may be feeble. You may be even unhealthy. Or you may be strong. You may be young. You may be old. But it'll be enough. What you've got is enough. Where you're at is enough. She's just one. But all one was enough. You're just one. And one of you is enough. The second thing that I notice is not only the human element, the natural element that she went through, but yet this one Anna was enough. I notice what I call the heavenly element. Her name is Anna. The New Testament name Anna is the same as the Old Testament name Hannah. Both of those names mean favored or graced. And here's a woman that if you look at the unfolding of the events of her life, you would think probably she's not blessed. But this is not true. As we look at the fragrance that she carries, she has a sense about her that she is a Hannah, or she is an Anna. In other words, in the midst of the human, she can see the heavenly. She realizes that through the course of all of those events, that somehow God has blessed her and somehow God has favored her.
And I'm going to tell you something. When you can see God, when you can witness God in the human, you'll be able to experience the heavenly. You'll be able to rejoice to realize that every step you have taken has been ordered by the Lord. And you can take all of those steps and glorify Him because He is the author and the finisher of the one. She is filled with this grace. The Bible said Noah found grace. Ruth found grace. Joseph found grace. It was Daniel in Babylon that found grace. It was Paul on that ship going to Rome. The Bible tells us that he found a favor. Her life is filled with the positive. It is filled with the blessing. She has taken the one, and the one that she is, the one that she has, all that she is, the one Hannah. And she has seen God's hand in the midst of it. And as a result of that, as the one, she can take who she is and give it back to God. It's more than enough. The only way the one can ever be enough is when you can see the Lord in the one. To realize that He is in charge of your life. He is in control of your life. He is the one that has blessed you and favored you. Does not mean you haven't gone through some things. The fact is while you've gone through some things, you've seen God in the midst of all of those things. And so as a result, she can see God in the midst. She is a Hannah, or she is a Anna. She has taken what she has got, and that's all that she has. And it has a heavenly side, and she has presented it unto the Lord. Only one, but I'm going to tell you, she was more than enough. I not only see her human side and her heavenly side, but I see her humbled side. Of all of the things that she could have become, the Bible said that she served the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? She served, verse 37, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God. Well, what a blessing it is to realize that God doesn't want any more than what you are in Him. He'll take what you will give. And what she does is she takes the one. Now, she can't sit around and worry about what everyone else is doing. Well, I'll tell you, I would do it if someone else would do it. Well, then you're never going to do it. Well, the only reason why I'm not faithful to church is I get over and I see other people that are not faithful to church discourage me. I don't want to go. Then you're not going to be faithful. Well, I tell you, bless God, if somebody else would give, I would give. Then you're not going to give. God's not wanting you to be the two. You can't be the two. You have to be the one. And in the one, it is you that can take who you are, seeing God's touch upon you, and offer it back to Him and serve God with the one. All He wants is the one. Hey, young person, He wants you. 14, 15, 13, 12. He wants you. 18, 19, 22. Married couple, married couple. He wants you. Taking the one and giving it back to Him. You're not in this world to make a living. You're in this world to live for Him. And here she takes the totality of her age, of her elderliness, of her circumstances, of her feebleness in the midst of the temple, and she serves God not just on Sunday morning or Sunday night, but she serves Him day and night. Isn't it amazing that God would accept your one? Have you stood in before a mirror and looked at yourself and wondered why even your wife would marry you, let alone God wants you? Haven't you felt your inefficiencies and haven't you sensed your weaknesses and who you are? But yet to stand there and realize that God would take that and use that. And here she is. I don't know what serving God day and night. I know it says praying and fasting. I don't know the entirety of what that involved. But what she was going to do was take the one and dedicate it to serving God. Jesus said, "The greatest of you shall be the servant." When he came, Philippians said, Paul did, he humbled himself to become a servant. The greatest thing you can do, listen to me, you are the one. You are the one. And that one will be enough in this world to magnify the Christ of another world. If you will just take the one, and instead of in pride wanting to rise up and prove you're the one, take yourself and humble it before the feet of Christ and offer Him the one for whatever He wants the one to do in your service for the Lord. Be the one! I'll be the one that will fast. I'll be the one that will pray. I'll be the one that will give. I will be the one that will be faithful. I will be the one that Christ can love through. I will be the one that will forgive. I want to be the one to serve. Just one. And one will be more than enough. I thought about the prodigal. He wasn't of much value at home or in the far country. He was a minus in both places. And the reason why he was because of his spirit and his attitude. He felt like that he deserved things. But when he came back home, there was a change in him, in his status. And the way that he viewed himself, he said to his father, "Father, make me one of thy hired servants." He had been of no value to himself. He had been of no value to the far country. He had been no value to the home. He was of no value to the father or anyone else until he became a servant. Hey, I'm going to tell you, the only time the one is going to be worth it is when the one becomes the servant. Position is not what gives you value in the sight of God. It is humility. And humility is always connected with a heart that wants to serve. When a husband wants to serve his wife and a wife wants to serve her husband and the parents want to serve the children want to serve the parents and we want to serve each other because we want to serve God, it'll work. But it works one at a time. When one heart says, "Lord, the only thing I want to do here is find something to do for you." Now, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. But if you're just coming to church here so you can have a church to go to, you've missed it a million miles and of little worth to this church. When you came through those doors, I know, we go to where we can be blessed. But I'm going to tell you, bigger than that, you need to go where you can be a blessing. And sitting in this place, your heart should say as the one, Anna, "God, I know. I know you can use me here. I know you have a purpose for me here. I don't want to just come and be entertained. I want to come and enact. I want to be a one. I want to be a one for whatever you want me to do here. Just one. Oh, I'm going to tell you, it's amazing what difference a one could make when that one wants to do it for the Lord. Here, Anna, with her human aspect, seeing the heavenly aspect, has humbled herself and said, I'm just here to see what I can do for the Lord. Wow, isn't that a blessing? To realize that the Lord wants your one. Are you hearing me? From my right side to the left side, I have scanned this congregation. And if my figures are correct, and I think they are, there's no one else here but us. But what I want to say to you is every one of you counts. And every one of you are wanted by God if you will simply serve. The greatest calling for everyone is the same calling that was for Anna, and that is to serve God. Young man, who are you serving? Self? Young lady, who are you serving and following? Self? Or are you take the one where it is at. Don't wait for something to unfold, or don't say, you know what, if I was young again, I'd serve the Lord. When I get to be in my 20s, I'll probably, you know, after I get married and get a house, I'll probably say, no. Do it where you're at, because you are of utmost importance to heaven where you're at. The one! I'm looking at a church here with many people, but you are each one. She's one. But she takes what she's got, the one, and that's all she's got. Smothers it in His grace and His goodness, and then offers it back to Him as a gift. Lord, I've come, I'm not much. I'm 84 or 105, whichever it is. I've lost my husband. I am lonely at heart. But I want to take my one, and I want to see if you can use it. And the one is being used. But notice with me, and I close with this. The Scripture said in verse 38, and she coming in that instant. She's on time. And God's on time. Up to this point, this is the biggest event, the birth of Christ. And then the dedication of Christ. Then the ministry of Christ. This is the biggest event in all of history. Do you think it was by accident that she showed up at the same time as the dedication of Christ? She's just one. But the one was there. When the one was there, I'm talking about Christ Himself. And hey, if you as one want to be where He's at, the one, He'll show up so you both can be there at the same time. Hallelujah. You're just one. Don't come to church thinking, well, if so-and-so ain't there, I hope I'm not. No. You're the one. Come with the intent of meeting with the Lord and showing up. And I'm here to tell you, He will show up, the one. It's more than enough to move heaven in your direction. James tells us, draw nigh to God. And then what will happen? He will draw nigh to you. Now she comes in this place. Look at it. And she's coming in that instance. Gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake. of Him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. She is not only seeking Him. She is as one seeing Him. She is not only as one serving Him, but she as one is sharing Him. Because the one has come together with the one, and she's got something to say. The Lord is at hand. And the scripture said she went and told, or she spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. I'm glad the one, Jesus, gave the one, me, something to say when we come together. And for 50 years, I've been going across this country talking about the One. But the only reason I can talk about the One is because the day when the One showed up with the One, and we came together. And in Him, we are one, the Bible said. And it is here that God has taken one. Think about this now. Nestled in that little place, in that temple there in the far-off Middle East. And He has used this one to touch the world. Just one. You say, well, now, wait a minute. How in the world? And I can hear someone say, I heard a preacher, he's in heaven, died in his 90s. I used to preach for him every year. And he told me, I thought it was so sad, he said he was witnessing to a fellow one day in the grocery store and said, I'm a Baptist preacher and I've been serving the Lord. And he said that fellow looked at him and said, look like you wasted your life. Well, I knew this preacher and his heart and his love for God. And nestled in those mountains in North Carolina, he was one who did everything that Anna did. And I'm going to tell you something. I not only recognize that, but many across those mountains that he had touched recognize that. But not only did many across those mountains recognize that, heaven made an account of the one. How did Luke know about this woman? And say it like that. The one, Anna. How did he know about her? Well, I know one thing. This book is inspired by God, so the Holy Ghost had to show it to him. The Holy Ghost said to Luke, now, I want you to write something about one. I mean, slipped right in there. What in the world is she in there in 3 verses 4? She's just one. But I'm going to tell you something. Since the record was made by the Holy Ghost through the pen of Luke, how many over 2,000 years have read about the one Anna? And when you think about Anna, what do you think about? You think about a woman filled with grace. You think about a woman who served God. You think about a woman who prayed night and day. You think about a woman who experienced what everybody else experiences on several levels. She was not exempt from the pains and sorrows of life, but she took whatever was wrapped up in that one, and she said, God, I'm not a part-time servant. I'm a full-time servant. I'm going to serve You night and day. And He said, if you're going to move toward Me, I'm going to move toward you. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. There's a principle and the promise in the Word of God that I have found all the way through. And it is the principle of you first. I know God's the author and the finisher of our salvation. I know He's in the beginning and the end of everything He does. But there comes that point in time to where He will look at you and say, if you want me to do what you want me to do, you're going to have to do first what I want you to do. Somebody said, boy, I wish God was close by. Well, He said, if you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. You first! Somebody said, man, I wish somebody would give me something. Well, He said, if you'll give, it'll be given unto you. Press down, running over. He said, if you knock first, I'll open. Think about that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You go first. I think too many times we're asking God to do things we want Him to do, and we haven't put ourselves in the middle of it to see what He wants us to do in the thing we want Him to do. He showed up with Lazarus in that tomb, and they wanted Him to do something for Lazarus, and didn't He fool them when He said, you first. You roll that stone away, move that stone, and I'll show you what I... When you do what you can do that I want you to do, I'll do what I can do that you can't do. Hallelujah. So I'm here to say to you, she was constantly moving toward God, wasn't she? She was praying. She said, well, you say, well, just keep on praying. You say, well, I hadn't felt nothing. Just keep on fasting. Just keep on moving toward God. Just keep on, take that one and put it all in there. And I promise you, you're going to run headstrong into God somewhere. And he said, Luke, I got a woman over here that nobody else knows anything about, and I'm not going to leave her that way. And here's the way I want you to write it. One, Hannah. One, Anna. One, the Bible talks about John. One, Paul. One, you. One, me. And you say, well, I seem so insignificant, I don't think I could even make an impact. Oh, you got no idea how important and powerful the one is when it's given to God. Seek Him, see Him, serve Him, and then you can share Him and find out it was more than enough. Now, I think of my own life and I close. If I had a tallied it up, and if I still tallied it up, I just could not feel like I could do much for the Lord. You say, why? Well, who's going to go hear an evangelist named Dana Williams? I've had on three occasions people come thinking they was going to get to hear a woman preach. And brother, were they disappointed on two accounts. I tried to find my mother, one, to share Christ with her, wasn't able to, and two, to ask her why she named me. It's like a boy named Sue. But when He saved me, I said, well, Lord, I'll just take that name and give it to You. But we'll just see what You can do with it. And then my past, as I preached enough here, was raised no mother at all. No, it was a terrible past. But when I got saved, I just took all that and said, well, Lord, I don't know what You can do with all this, but if You can do anything, I'm just one.
Amen.
Just one. And I always wish I'd have had that deep baritone voice. I mean, I could have been a Billy Graham, maybe. I mean, you know, my voice has always been high-pitched and screamy. I said, Lord, You just can't use me. I mean, I'm just... And in 5, 7 3/4, and that is 3/4, I'm not giving up a fraction. Went to a basketball game last night, and every one of those guys are 7'3". I mean, I look like a midget. But you know what He has said to my heart over the years? If you'll take the 5'7", and you'll take the name, and you'll take all you... If you'll just daily take the one, I'm not asking you to do any more than that. If you'll just give Me the one, then you can watch what I can do through the one. And I ask you, How many people? Is there anybody here that can calculate? I would ask for one. I'm asking for one that would think that you would have an idea of how many people have heard this woman's name, Anna. Have read about this woman's name. How many have read your Bible through? Well, don't raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you. But if you've read your Bible through, you've been introduced to one, Anna, that took everything and served the Lord with it, shared it. And God said to Luke, don't you leave her out. Oh, I know she just won. I know she's a widow. I know she's old. I know she's just won. But she's more than enough. Hey, Bill. You're more than enough. Susan, you're more than enough. Brenda, you're more than enough. He just wants the one. Give me the one. Let him have the one. And see what he can do. Here in this church. Wonder what he can do with the one if you just go ahead and surrender it all. If you just come to that conclusion, I'm just not going to go sit on a pew in a church somewhere just to listen. No, I'm going to ask God what he wants me to do. Just one that will humble themselves and say, God, I'm going to take what I am, even when no one else seems to know about it, in the seclusion, and I'm going to make whatever the one is available for you. The one who gave his life for me. Let's stand.